produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day, brothers and sisters. My name is Evangelist Halon Katlo, broadcasting on SKEM Radio Network, U.S. and the world, and the name of our program is Butembaha in His Presence. It gives me great pleasure that today I'm going to share the Word of God with you, and as I'm about to share the Word of God, I believe that God will change your life and transform your life through His Word. It is my prayer that today, as we are going to share the Word of God, let's look deep into the Word of God and have an understanding that God really wants to change our life and transform our life. And if we look into the Word of God, I believe that our life shall never be the same. And our life could change. There are a lot of life that has been changed of people who have listened to God. There are a lot of things that Jesus Christ or God has done to people who had taken to see. There are promises to people who are obedient to the work of God. There's a life that we have that has been given to Jesus Christ that is eternal life. There's a life after our death, and there's a life before we die. That's why Paul says, whether I die today or whether I live today, I live for the Lord, and when I die for the Lord. And with this kind of understanding, it makes us to be in a right standing with God, to be in the right mind with God, and it put us in a situation where we understand who God is in our life and how God works or how God operates in our lives. And if we have that kind of mentality, then we are in the right path to see the work of God in our lives. We had a privilege of knowing who He is in our life, and it is my prayer that today, as we share the Word of God, that God will energize us through His Word and empower us through His Word. And I pray this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to let us have an understanding who God is. Let us have an understanding what God wants to do in our life, because we are in a journey, and we must really understand the ways of God. We must understand how God does things and what God requires of us. And it's through this acquiring of the Lord that we have a better understanding. I just want us today to go to the first book of Job, chapter 1, and we go to verse 22, and say, in all this Job did not sin by blaming God. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for those you're going to transform, God, their lives. We thank you, Lord, for those who you're going to change their life. We thank you. We are grateful for the opportunity that you've given us to share your word. The Bible says, in all this, Job did not sin by blaming God. By just reading this verse in verse 22, as a last verse of the first chapter of Job, it tells you that there are things that had happened. There are things that could make Job to sin on blaming God. There are things that it tells us that there are things that had happened. There are things that have transpired in his life that could have given him a thought or a mind to sin against God. Because here, when we read it, we have an understanding that there were things that had happened to his life. There are things that maybe had happened to his family. Maybe there are things that had happened to his business. Because as we live in the earth today, there are things that are about to happen. There are things that will happen to our lives. There are things that we are not calling them, but by the virtue of being children of God, they will happen to our life. That is why the Bible today, it tells us about the life of Job. Say, in all of this, in all, it doesn't matter. It doesn't say bad. It doesn't say good. But it's saying all of this. I want to put to you that death. Days that are going to be bad and the days that are going to be good. There are days when things you wish that they could have never been the way they are. But the Bible says, in all these things, Job did not sin against God. I don't know what could have prompted Job in all this. I don't know what could have transpired or make Job by believing the word of God to suggest that he could have sinned against God. I don't know what could it be. I don't know what could you take the pain. What can you take in this world that will make you to sin against God? I don't know. I don't know what could have happened to you that one day when you open your eyes and you say, but something went wrong. There's something that is wrong about my life. Something has never, I never thought this one would happen to my life. I never thought this thing will come my way. And I know when this can happen, I will sin against God. I will shout God foolishly. I don't know what can prompt you that. I don't know how long can you stand for God. I don't know what are you waiting to happen to your life to realize that nothing, as Paul put it, nothing can from the love of God. I don't know. Maybe Paul, because he's in the Old Testament. Paul had a revelation. Maybe he had read this verse and understand what Job came through, what happened to his life. Because the Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not against God. What is it that prompts you? What is it that can happen? What the worst that can happen to your life, that one day when you look, say, God didn't show up, and I decided to do something about this problem. I decided that I must do something about this life. I've decided long time ago that there's something that need to be done about my life. There's something that needed to be done the way I live my life. There's something I have to give. Something need to be done. I don't know. You know your life. You know your story. You know things that have happened to your life. But I'm here to tell you that hear the word of God. Tell us about Job. Maybe we should go back to the life of Job and understand what Job was saying. Maybe we need to go back to this chapter to be able to have an understanding what was happening in the life of Job. The things that have transpired in his life. What kind of man he was. What kind of relationship that this man Job had with God. Remember, maybe we have to go back, because the Bible, when we read the first chapter of this John chapter 1, verse 1, it tells about that there was a man, and his name was Job, and he lived in the land of Uz. Maybe we should get this thing that, listen, who Job was, and the Bible say he was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He had an integrity. He was blameless. And the second thing about him is that Job, he feared God. and stay away from evil. Now, there is something that we have, that we must have an understanding of what the manner of man was Job. Is that Job, what kind of life that he was living? The Bible clearly tells us what kind of person Job was. He feared God. Job was a man who feared God and stayed away from evil. His love for the Lord made him to stay away from evil. The Bible tells us clearly that Job feared the Lord. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the all wisdom. When we read the last chapter tells us that Job, after all these things, so it means after all the goodness, we have never seen the bad, but he say after all these things, maybe it can be good or bad, but the Bible tells us that the good that we know about this man, he was blameless. He was a man of integrity. He feared God and he stayed away from evil. The goodness about this man is that he was a blameless. He was a man of God. He was a man of integrity. And he feared God. Fearing God should be somebody who lived by God's words. Fearing God is a man who had given himself to God to hearken diligently unto the will of God. And the Bible clearly and tell us that Job, he was that kind of man. He was a man of integrity. He was a man who stayed away from evil. He was a man that was blameless. So the all things, in all things in his life, the Bible tells us in verse 22 that he did not sin. By that, by virtue of reading this kind of statement in verse 22, it's telling us that there are stuff that had happened to life of Job. That he decided not to sin and blame God. He decided not to sin and blame God. He feared the Lord. In everything that he do, it's very deliberate that in everything that when the verse started and describe of him, he described him as a man of God. It said the man that feared God, a child of God, a servant of the Lord, because he had all these things. But the Bible again, it starts with when you go to verse 2, it telling us about how rich was Job, how big was his family, the things that he had. But his life never started with that. How I wish that today your life must never begin with the kind of car that you are driving, the kind of church that you have. Because in the days that you are living in today, people are so proud of what they have achieved. They are so proud. They are so proud of the kind of car that they are driving, how their children progressing in life. They are so proud of that. But the Bible, when it described Job, he was the man that feared God. He was a man of integrity. He was blameless man. When people are giving and a pulpit to share the word of God, every time that we've been given to share, it's about what we have, the kind of clothing that we have, the kind of stuff that we have, the kind of education that we acquire. But I love the way this man who did not blame God, how his life was. It looks like the way the verse 1 described him. He had every reason. his life to be under God's control because he's blameless. He's complete integrity. He had a complete integrity. He feared God. He was a man who stayed away from the wrong things. But we know that it's not every time when you stay away from the wrong things that are not happening to your life. When you stay away from the wrong things come your way. But verse 2, it tells him about what the kind. He had three daughters. He had so many sheep. He had so many camels. He had so many oxen, donkeys. He had servants. He was had everything. The Bible say he was a rich. Job was a rich man. It tells us that he had sons. And you know, the sons had homes. And their children, it described the kind of life that their children live. You say, in other days, his children will go, will take tents and go to each other's houses, the sons' houses, you know, have a good time there. To have every time there was kind of celebration that was happening to them, to his children's houses. And their sisters will go there. And the man of integrity, every time when this feast happened, he thought to himself, maybe I should do something for God to cleanse these kids. Because I don't know what they do when they are there. I don't know what they do. Say, maybe I should purify my children. To put them in a right standing with God. Job was a man of integrity. Job was a man that his mind was occupied. His mind was filled with God. His heart was filled. Everything that he thought of, he would think of God. What if these children have sinned against God? I'll do and bear an offering for them to purify you. Perhaps when they drank there, they've done evil before the eyes of God. Maybe they've cursed God. I don't know what they would have done. Job was a man of integrity. Was a man who feared God. But here is a verse that troubles us every time. The last verse of this chapter says, after all these things had happened. What are the things that had happened to his life? What are the things that had happened in his life? I don't know the things that have happened to your life. I don't know. I don't know. But when we read this chapter and we go to verse 13, it tells us, it sums up everything about Job. We say, one day Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house. One day his problems begin now. Job One day, this only one day when you have prayed, when you've done everything that you should be doing, that need to be done, and the message came, see, your ox were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. When Sadbim raided us, they stole the animals and killed all the farmhands. I'm the only one escaped to tell you this. Everything he had built for years, everything that he had, every riches that he had, he lost this. He lost everything. Every rich, every cent that he had in a bank, every money that he had in an investment, he has lost it.
Maybe he was still want to think about this, or what had happened to my life. Because the Bible say, while Job was still speaking, another messenger arrived and say, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds. I'm the only one left. He doesn't say people, people came or Ben failed, and now the sheep are Ben the sheep. He say, strictly they tell him the truth. The fire of God, God is against you. God has left you, because they say the fire of God has fallen. The anger of God is upon your life. And all your sheep and the shepherd are gone. I'm the only one escaped. While they were speaking, the third messenger arrived and came to Job and told him, three bands, Chaldean raiders, have stolen your camels and killed your servants. I'm the only one left. At once, in his past, at Job's life, one day, all these things happened only in one day. All the things that he had for years only happened on one day. While he was still thinking, another one arrived and say, your sons and daughters are dead also. And say, the powerful wind swept the wilderness and hit the house in all sides. The house collapsed. Your children are dead. I'm the only one to tell you. I'm the only one to tell you. Remember, the Bible say, in all of this, Job did not sin against God. He had nothing. He had nothing. He was a man who was rich. He was man that have everything in his life. But all this thing, just in a day that he lost everything that he had for the years. I did all these things. I don't know what is your story. I don't know what happened to your life. I don't know what happened to your ministry. I don't know what happened to your calling. But I've never seen a person like Job. Job was a man like us. But in one day he lost everything. Look how you are. You lost a car in an accident. You rebel against God and you begin to ask questions, where was God? You lost only one child. You got one miscarriage. You ask, where is God? Just because your husband say, if you continue with this God, I don't want you anymore. And you begin to ask, where was God? You fail one test and you begin to ask, where was God? You got retrenched, and the only thing that you have to ask, where is God? Where is God in my life? You have tried ministries for just a couple of years, and you begin to start, where is God? But Job lost 10 kids in a day. Every bank account that he had, every investment that he had in life, he lost it. The Bible says he was rich. He had everything. I don't know that in this planet there has ever been a man like that. Who receives such kind of news that even people who are next to you are dying. Not that things going away. People will start to run away from you because everything, people around you are dying because they're with you. They're dying because they're carrying your business. People are perishing. Maybe about to,
people will start to be and say, there's something wrong. Maybe it's witchcraft in people. Why people who are around him are dying. I am here to tell you that the Bible say, after all this thing, Job did not see nor blame God. I want to tell you, don't let your situation, don't let your trouble sin against God. Don't let stuff that happen on this earth jeopardizing your internal life. Let the things that are happening to your life kill you. Let the things that you need, the love of life, the things that you need to happen to your life, don't let kill this great power that God has given you. I am here today, and I'm telling you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can still make it in life. You can still make it in the journey. If you ever is not in this lifetime, don't blame yourself. Don't hang yourself. There's an eternal life that you'll have a joy and rejoice with the Lord. Don't jeopardize. Don't come to that space. Don't come to that territory. There's a place in a man's heart that only God has to sit in there. I pray today in the name of the Lord Jesus, do not lose heart. Do not faint when things are not happening to your life. But be stand the way you are and stand for the truth and stand for the Lord. It's my prayer that today, wherever you are, that people speak ill of you, they speak wrong stuff about you, they're spreading rumors about you, you are losing things left, right, and center, things are not happening in your life. I am here today, and I am telling you today, do not lose heart. I'm telling you today that there's still hope for you. There's still hope. God is still controlling your life. It is my prayer today that do not take for granted. Do not take your children for granted. But stand. Be still. For I am God. God will take good care of you. Your life can still never be the same. It is my prayer that today, if you can allow this God to work within you, if you can allow to be God over your life, if you can allow him to work within you in the name of Jesus Christ, it is my prayer that today you may let him reign in your life. You may let him to be God over your life. It is my prayer today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that allow him to be God over your life. Allow him to work through your life. Allow him to be God in your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until we meet again, it's me, Evangelist Sekgalong Katlho. I'm saying to you this day, in all of this, do not sin or blame God. Do not sin and blame God. Do not allow the things of this world to take away the joy of the Lord in your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, me, Evangelist Halukatu, and stay blessed. And the Lord may speak of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, you have eternal life because of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Gian bingel bazalange kamalga Jesu Kristu wase Nazareta. Lona ngumfundisi Vilakazi from South Africa under SKM Network. This program was produced by Mr. Disikot. What an excellent God. Maybe things on your side may not be excellent, but God will remain excellent. But God will remain excellent. Without wasting any time, I want us today to talk shortly about this message entitled, Are You Willing to Lose It All to Gain It All? Are you willing to lose it all to gain it all. When you read the 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, it says, but godliness with the contentment of his great gain. For we brought nothing in this world, and we certainly carry nothing out. Many in our world today, we are fixated on material wealth and social status in life, that the majority of our energy we spend trying to obtain than what currently we possessed. There's one man that I was very inspired by, the name of Paul. He revealed in the verse 1, he says, just read that those who walk with what are content with what we provide. In fact, he received much from him. He declared that we had nothing when we were born into this life, and we are unable to take any out of the world possession with us when we die. It's important that we understand the economy of God, that in his economy does not operate the same as the principles of this world economy does. The Lord's economy operates according to his divine perspective. While many fail to understand, in God's economy, gain after comes through loss. Those who are willing to lose, they will consider precious and value actually if they gain much from the Lord. His blessing are benefit exceeded to this world what God has provided. As I pondered these principles, and they convicted the world of the Lord Jesus, I was reminded of the many in the Bible who gained through loss. For example, there was a guy by the name of Abraham. He was asked to abandon his hometown to follow God's land that will be revealed in time. He led with only one promise from God. And in his time, and according to his divine plan, God provided much for Abraham. Many in the Old Testament, the prophets lived and leads for ridicule in the solutions, but they enjoyed the blessing of God. The disciples were asked to abandon their life in order to have to build, in order to follow Jesus. One of the greatest examples I gained through loss was Apostle Paul. He was a Pharisee with math education. He had all he could desire from the world. From the world perspective and the world status, prestige and power. Paul decided to give it up all for what? To obtain, to follow Jesus. He had to learn to lose what is actually gain. Consider his perspective on this matter. As he wrote to the Philippians, church, in Philippians 3, excuse my voice, he says in verse 7, but the things we were gained to me, those are content to lose for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all these things, but lose for exceeding for the knowledge of Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom I have suffered to lose for all these things, and so contend them, but duck them, that I may win Christ, so that what? I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but which is in the law, but which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which of God by faith, that I may know him and the power that has resurrection him, for the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable unto his death. Paul, the Bible says he was a very educated man, and he could ever anything that he could desire in this world. But the Bible tells us he lost everything in order for him to follow Jesus. This man, he says, I want to know him, even the power of that resurrection him. That means he's willing to give it all in order for him to win Christ. As we discuss these powerful ways, I want you to consider through loss it is a gain. The proposal of his extended on verse 4, then the Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For the intended moment that with the disciples, when Jesus questions them regarding their perspective of who he was, he offered the proposal to them through those words. When it was spoken to the disciples, then there were application to everyone who decides to follow Jesus. Let them consider an aspect of these proposals, that we may see what Jesus has proposed on them. There are a few things that I want us to go through. Number one, a conscious decision. A conscious decision. If any man will come after me, there can be no doubt to these involvements. A personal choice and a decision. A conscious decision that man on the part will hear. What is the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ? That you will follow him. And as an individual, we must take a conscious choice that we want to follow him. Despite the circumstances, despite the situation that we are coming through. The world is in the task of upright. One consider the resolve of determination. The world presents many options that we abandon, but then opportunities that each day is full with choices. What will you decide? Whom or what will you follow? Where do I affection lie? What will seek in life? These are all these questions that we must answer. If are to follow Jesus, we must take one of the decisions to do so in order our life to influence by something, by someone, which path we were chosen in life. Sometimes we have to make decisions that will cost our lives in order for us to gain what Jesus has promised us. But in order for us to do that, there are certain commitments that we need to do in order for us to follow Jesus. The Bible says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Jesus revealed the next aspect of saving him. We must be willing to deny ourselves. These are the strong words, even the strong implication. We must be willing to disown and forsake, reject, restrain ourselves, basically doing what the desire of the flesh. We must be willing to subdue the flesh and effort to follow the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is easy to forsake our desire and restrain the flesh, but it's absolutely necessary if we are to follow Jesus. These things are the things that we need to do as a commitment to make a decision that I will never follow the desire of the flesh in order for me to gain what Jesus has promised me. Few are willing to admit it, but we are to the greatest inheritance. We would like to blame our failure and mistakes. We have all the reasons to blame the situation in order for us not to be committed into the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read Romans 7, it says, "For I know that in me, that is my flesh, I dwell no good. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, and I found not. For the good that I will do, but the evil which I will not, that I do. Now if do that I will not do, it is not more than I do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me." Verse 21 said, "I found them a law that when I will do good, evil will present with me. These struggles will continue as long as we live. The fleshy body that we are inherit, what will transform our salvation? We must be denied and subdue ourselves daily. Our major problem following the Lord Jesus and pleasing him is this body of the flesh which we dwell. We have a problem denying the desire of the flesh, and the lust are strong, and the flesh demand to be sanctified. We must be willing to subdue the flesh in order to bring the glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Our flesh is there to distract us, Master Lord. And there's nothing that we can do unless we commit ourselves unto the Lord Jesus Christ. There are certain things, even though how much you love them, but in order for you to follow Jesus, we follow him with everything that you have, we must deny ourselves these things. And we know that these things are the things that concern us not to follow Jesus, not to make decisions in order for us to follow Jesus. But these things, they are following us every day of our lives. And we love them. And we forget that all these things, they are there to distract us. Number two, constantly depart. When you read verse 4, it says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." This is clearly that most difficult aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ that he proposed unto us. As Jesus spoke into us, these words, I'm sure that the disciples were understood that the world in which we live, what is very different in ours. In fact, all where any believers are forced to great persecution. "For the faith I define with Christ that what promised me." Intense in diversity. For his statement was more than he had and bargained for us. "For the disciples were not stronger than the Roman cross." These were instruments that Jesus advised us by the Romans to extended and intense suffering and pain of the executed. The cross was an instrument of death. That means if we take this cross, you must be willing to do what Jesus is telling you to do. He said, "If any man wants to follow me, he must deny himself and take his cross daily." That means every day when you woke up, you took that cross. That means every day, that cross, what is it? It's the suffering or crucifying our flesh in order for us to follow Jesus in all the ways that Jesus has paved us. The cross was an instrument of death. That means you need to die to yourself and live for God. What I mean when you say you die for yourself, there are things that you need to make a decision as a Christian that I will never do this. Like Paul says, the good things that I want to do, I can't do them. But the evil thing I found them do, that means there's a certain area of your life that was never surrendered to God. Any area of your life that is not surrendered to God, it's a play station or is a playground for the devil, because he knows that in this area you are weak, in this area you will do whatever he tells you. Why? Because this area is not surrendered to God. That means as Christians we need to take everything that we have and give it to God, or throw it into the cross, that Lord, I surrender everything to you. Let your will, let your desire rule and reign in my body, rule and reign in my mind. Let everything that is in me represent you. Whether it be in my mind, my thoughts, my actions, my heart, I want to represent you. Because you have crucified with me. They had to be willing to die to themselves. The Bible says, in order for us to follow Jesus, we have to die ourselves. When I will never be seek to minimize the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering and joy of my salvation, and my convicted view, the cross that has been endured through modern Christians by making people aware of the crosses around, of their neck and pieces of domain. Homes, and they will fail to recognize the significance of the cross. Jesus, the day he was pleased, they brought an execution to death unto him. Knowing this, that in all men is crucified with him, the body of sin might be destroyed, and hence we, as Romans 12, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know, there's one thing I love about this faith. He said, present your body. And this body must be holy. Don't just bring anything alive to God. God says, I want that body. That means whatever that you do, you put that body at the altar. You said, Lord, this body is holy. I'm going to put it there and do whatever you wish. The reason there's so much sin among the people of God, that means from time to time, we go to the altar, we claim our body back. That means when that time comes, or when the weekend comes, we say to God, no, Mudim, for now, can you borrow me the body? I'll bring it on Monday. That means you have never surrendered everything to God. And God said, I want that body as holy. Like, that means it's not supposed to even have a dot of a sin. It must be holy and acceptable to God. We love to bring things alive to God. God says, I don't want anything, and I want that body to be holy, holy, holy and acceptable to me. Just because it's alive that you can bring it to God, so no. This must be holy. I want this thing to be holy. I want this thing to be holy. Number three, continually desire. When you read verse 4 again, it says, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Finally, there must be continually desire to follow Jesus. In order for him to follow, that thing must come within you, that I want to follow Jesus. I know people may say whatever this is. I know circumstances may try to make themselves to be in a stumbling block against me, but that desire in me, because I want to follow Jesus, it has to come within. This is not an action that is revealed for Sunday. This is not an action revealed for certain days. This is not an action that we reveal when we desire. It must be daily. That's why he says, bring that body as a living sacrifice. That thing will help you that every day, whether day or night, you will desire to follow Jesus. We must be willing to follow Jesus daily. That means to be followed or companion for Jesus, to be disciples. It has to die. It has to be an idea, actually seeking to follow Christ, a reflection of our likeness. Following Jesus is not an idle task. Whenever I come across with that idea, no. You must make a decision. And that decision must be conscious. You must have a desire for you to, you must be content. You must be committed to God. That I want to follow Him, no matter what the situation might be. I want to follow Jesus. That's why I said before, are you willing to lose it all? Because there are certain things that we enjoy as people, that I love this thing, not forget it, whatever we see around. The Bible says it's passing away. So are you willing to sacrifice for your life for something that is passing away in order for you to gain something that you will gain for eternity? But people, they see that. They don't see what other side. This reminds me of one of the messages that I preached a couple of days ago. Any man who can see beyond the grave, he is blind than the man who is blind. That means if any man can see on the other side, you must be very, very blind. Because now we are deceived with the thing that we see around. And we feel that this is the everything that I have. Not forgetting there will come a time in this world that any man will leave behind whatever wealth that you have worked for, whatever wealth you obtained to whoever so, but there will come a time that you must leave behind. But the question is, will you leave everything behind? Will you see Jesus? When you're willing to let go of Jesus, are you sure whatever that you consider precious, it will take you on the other side? Wait. Think. Don't make rash decisions. Think about your life. Whatever you see around you, it doesn't end. There is life on the other side. And that life, you must consider precious. What am I saying to you? Jesus loves you. And Jesus cares about you. And in order for you to follow Jesus, you must deny yourself. Like the scripture says, that in order for me, you must take your cross daily. That means no matter what the situation might be, we need to follow Jesus every day of our lives. Let alone what the people think about. Let alone what the situation might be around us. Because sometimes we blame situations. No, I don't have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That means I can't save Jesus. That's a lie. We want excuses not to save the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm saying to you, consider what is important. In order for you to have what is eternity at the end, you must start now. Think about it. You can't. You know, I usually tell my daughter that in order for you to obtain the examination, it must start now. That means January, you must start harder in order for you to get an examination. The same applies with life in this journey of God. We need to consider God now in order for us to see Jesus in the next level. I'm begging you, my friend. Consider what is important. Sit down and think and able to make a decision. What is it that's important to you now? Is it the world or Jesus? What is that is important? I will carry on. Due to time, I will be able to finish the message. But next week, I'll carry on with part two of this thing. Are you willing to lose it all in order to gain it all? This is Pastor Vilakazi from SKM Network. I love you with the love of the Lord. Let's meet next week when we do part two. Are you willing to lose it all in order to gain it all? Be blessed. I love you with the love of the Lord.